You picked a great, great day to tune into the Elevation Experience because we're starting a new series of teachings called Sticks and Stones. And you'll find out what that's all about as the series goes on. But, you know, we all start our year with different resolutions. Maybe you've broken yours already. Maybe you don't even remember what yours was. I can relate to that, whether it's losing weight, stop eating carbohydrates, spending more time with our kids. You know, a lot of times what can start out as resolutions end up being nothing more than frustrations, no matter how good our intentions were. So this year, in our series Sticks and Stones, we're learning how to make our resolutions more than words. We've got five secret weapons from God's Word taken straight from the life of one of the most famous Bible characters named David. And I pray today that you'll receive a fresh word from God for your life that will help you to make this maybe your best year yet. This week, I want to speak to you from the passage of Scripture where David is set apart to be the future king of Israel. He's about 10 to 13 years old, and God starts revealing his plan and his purpose for David's life in an incredible way. And I want to do it today and talk a little bit about the concept of anointing. And if that's just a church word for you that doesn't mean much yet, I want to load that term up and hitch some stuff to it because it's so important, it's so powerful, and it helps me a lot in what I'm called to do. And I know it'll help you as well. So let's study the scripture together now. For the next 5 weeks, we'll be in 1 Samuel either 16 or 17. So you can put your little ribbon in your Bible or mark it on your phone, and you'll be ahead of the person next to you. When I say turn in your Bible, you can pull it right up. And they'll think you're so spiritual, and they'll think you're a scholar. And only you and I will know the real truth. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I'll read a few different sections, and I have what I want to call four affirmations today, rather than four sermon points, four affirmations. So it's good to have New Year's resolutions. I got mine, you got yours, whatever. But I want to talk about some affirmations that God wants us to make and that he wants to make over us that will enable us to make the resolutions more than just words, empty promises, or vain ambitions. Okay? And so we're looking at this passage together, and let's see what the Lord will speak through these four affirmations today. Are you ready for the best year of spiritual growth? I have absolutely nothing to offer you in most areas of your life. But this year, count on it, I'm going to do everything I can do to preach you into your purpose. I'll make sure you're well fed in this Bible this year. And then all the other stuff you got to take care of. But I'll handle this the best I can. But you got to eat. Touch somebody next to you. Say, you got to eat. You got to eat. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. Let's jump in and let the context reveal itself. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way." All right. I preached a message last year called "The Horn, the Sword, and the Robe." And you got to download that thing because it's free. So I guarantee you it'll be worth what you pay for it. But it was about new beginnings. How the old setup was no longer successful. And how God said sometimes, you know, whether in this case it's a new king, or whether sometimes in our lives it's a new mindset, or whether it's new friendships, or whatever it is, sometimes you just got to be on your way. Touch somebody, say, move on. Move on. Sometimes you got to move on. He says, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Now, David is the son that God is speaking about, but don't tell Samuel, because this story would be a whole lot more fun if Samuel doesn't know which son he's going for. So we want to keep this a secret from Samuel, because obviously God doesn't want him to know yet, so we don't want to spoil it. But Samuel said, verse 2, "How can I go? if Saul, that was the current king and he was crazy, if he hears about it, he'll kill me. And then the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. And I would stop and preach there about how God always has a plan that is much smarter than your plan, and how God, you know, had it all worked out. And so don't worry this year about how God's going to do stuff. Just do what he tells you to do, and he'll get the heifer ready for you. But he says, tell him I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Verse 3 is important. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice. That's David's father. And I will show you what to do. I will show you what to do. Just get going, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Let's cut into this a little bit, all right? So, I'm intrigued by the concept of anointing, because it relates to us in a different way than it related to Samuel. On one level, this text is a historical text about God raising up a king named David, through whom Jesus would come eventually through his lineage. And all of that is wonderful to study. But on a personal level now, the anointing of God means something significant for each and every one of us here today. And we're not called to be kings, but we are called and chosen by God for certain works. When you see the term anointing in the Bible, it usually means somebody is taking oil in a horn and pouring it on someone's head. And usually it's a time of celebration or rejoicing. But it also indicates when someone is anointed in Scripture, whether they're a priest or a king in the Old Testament, that person, catch this, is singled out by God for special favor or responsibilities. That's what it means to be anointed. I'll give it to you again. To be singled out by God for special favor or responsibilities. Not favors, because that means you're just going to kick your feet up and God's going to do everything for you. But he said, with favor comes responsibility. Anointing. It is that powerful presence of God that equips you and empowers you and enables you to do everything that God has called you to do. And what's cool about it is, you know, in this scripture, God sent Samuel to find a son of Jesse to anoint him to be king. That's the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, I was reading over in John chapter 14, where Jesus said, I'll ask the Father, and he will send not Samuel, but he will send the Spirit to anoint you if you'll believe in me and empower you and equip you and enable you to function. But first, you got to be filled. In order to correctly function, you must first be filled, anointed. I want you to say this out loud, even if you don't believe it. Just lie. Just lie. Just say, I am anointed. How did it feel to say that? And that doesn't mean that you get a crown, and that doesn't mean that you get to preach next weekend. Let's clear that up. But I want you to make this first affirmation with me. I love this. I want you to write it down, because this is a sermon that I put in first person, so you can preach it to yourself all year. They say that people believe very little of what you tell them, but they believe everything that they tell themselves. So this is what I want you to tell yourself this year heading into your battles. I want you to tell yourself every day, I am anointed to accomplish my assignment. I am anointed to accomplish my assignment. I am anointed. I didn't even know what it meant 4.5 minutes ago. But now that I know what it means, and now that I know that just like God sent Samuel to anoint David, Jesus went up to heaven and the Father sent the Spirit to enable and anoint me, I am anointed to accomplish my assignment. Notify your neighbor. Tell them, hey neighbor, I am anointed to accomplish my assignment. Tell them, not your assignment, but my assignment. I am anointed to accomplish my assignment. So the scripture says that if you believe Christ is in you, and the word Christ is not Jesus's last name. The word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So when we say Christ is in me, what we're saying is the anointing is in me. It's not just on me because somebody took a horn and poured it on my head, but it's in me because Jesus went up to heaven and sent down his spirit to empower me, to enable me, to equip me. Yeah, touch the person next to you. Tell him he always yells like this. It's usually later in the sermon, but you remember for a while when you and everybody would—I don't know if you did this or not—but you could bump somebody else's phone and put their contact in your contact. Everybody was bumping each other's phone. The other day they were showing me about AirPlay, and then they would start showing me about AirDrop. And I don't know if you know about AirDrop, but AirDrop means on my iPhone, if I'm close enough to you and I give you permission, you can get something off my phone because I gave you access to what I had on my device. And I had a lot of fun playing with this because when I never had turned AirDrop on before, but I found out that if I turn on AirDrop, now we got to be close enough to each other where I can get what you have. And I guess that's kind of the way that the anointing works in some ways, is that God has now, through Jesus, this is the first sermon of the year, and I feel it already. And God says, if you'll draw close to me, and if you'll allow me to have my way in your life, I'll take what's in me and I'll put it in you. It's called my spirit. Christ is in me, and I am, come on, shout it, I am anointed to accomplish my assignment. Yeah, you sure are. You look anointed. You look. The anointing will empower me and equip me and enable me to accomplish my assignment given to me by God. I love verse 4. It's very simple, but if we could do this year, we would succeed in every spiritual thing. It says, verse 4, Samuel did what the Lord said. I should just walk off the stage right now. So do that. But without the anointing of God to enable us to be obedient, we'll become legalistic trying to do what we think God wants us to do or what God wants somebody else to do. And that's why we need the anointing. That's why we need God's Spirit. This is the secret weapon that the enemy doesn't want you to know about. And it says, when he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, you come in peace? Because they didn't know what kind of word from God this would be. Because every time God speaks, he doesn't speak just to make you feel good. And every time God opens his mouth, it isn't just to tell you how wonderful you are. Sometimes he wants to show you some things that are out of order. And they didn't know quite what this visit was about. And Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Check out my heifer. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. I want you to hang on to verse 5, part B. So when I circle back, you'll be ready. It says, then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, verse 6, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, great verse, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Remember this while you're making your resolutions this year. The Lord does not look at the size of your waist first. He looks at the size of your heart. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. Hallelujah. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's so hard, LB, because every verse I come to, I just want to take off and preach. Focus, Ferdig, focus. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and had him pass in front of Samuel, but Samuel said, the Lord hadn't chosen this one either. Jesse had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, none of them are chosen. Sorry, they're handsome. Eliab almost had me, you know, at hello, but I'm not the one making the choice, and this is not the starting lineup. I know they're your boys and all that, but, you know, we got to choose the one that God has chosen. And so he asked Jesse, I love this line, are these all the sons you have? Is this all you got? Now watch how our afterthought is often God's plan A. Jesse said, there is still the youngest, but he's out back. He's tending sheep. He didn't need to come. He's only 10, 11, 12, 13. We don't know exactly how old, but we know that his voice was still a little high at this point in his development. And Samuel said, and this is what the Spirit will always say, no matter what people think about you, no matter what people say about you, no matter if people like you or no matter if they see something in you, when God has anointed you and chosen you, Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So I love it because the one who originally wasn't even invited now has a standing invitation from God. And this is the way that God often works. So he sent for him and had him brought in, verse 12. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. And that's kind of interesting to me that God put that in, because in verse 7 he said that God doesn't look at the outward appearance. But then it included the detail that he was good looking. But it's saying that he might have had the outward appearance, but he wasn't chosen because of the outward appearance. It's not that outward appearances are never important. It's just that outward appearances are not ultimately important. And the way it seems is not always the way God sees it. And so there's a difference between appearing to be something and really being something. And so what I'm trying to say is all of Jesse's sons looked good, but only David was chosen for the task. How do I know? Verse 12, part B. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. This is the one. Real cool, huh? I love how David wasn't even there in the showroom. And yet, he's the one that God had in mind all along. I want you to write this down as affirmation number two. Just because I'm not visible doesn't mean I'm not valuable. Yeah, it is pretty good. Just because I'm not visible, that doesn't mean I'm not valuable. Can I talk about this for a minute? David wasn't consecrated by the others, but he was chosen by God. David was left out by the others, but he was set apart by God. And as this year begins, the majority of us feel in an area of our lives like nobody is looking at all that we're doing and nobody is appreciating all the effort that we're exerting. And it would have been very easy for young David to get a complex. I mean, what would it hurt to at least let him come in the room? Even if you don't think he's the one, what will it matter? At least he'll get to see his big brother get chosen to be king. At least he could be in the picture afterwards. At least when you hashtag it can say David too. At least you can tag him. Come on. What would it have hurt to have him in the room? But I believe he was left out because God wanted to show that it's often the people who feel left out that are actually the ones that God has set apart for his special purpose. If they were holding an election to anoint the next king, it wouldn't have been David. But God doesn't consult nominating committees. Not for David, not for you. And I want you to know that if you feel undervalued, unseen, unremarkable, I'm talking about the way your kids treat you, the way your boss treats you, the way you treat you, and the way many of you think that God is treating you. I want you to know that invisibility is not an indication of unimportance. Mm-mm. No, no, no. David wasn't forgotten that day. He was hidden. See, you hide stuff you really care about. And I grew up in a home with two large men. My dad was a big dude. My brother was a big dude. So anytime I had some food that I really wanted. Yeah, I'm talking about my Easter candy. I had to hide it. Yeah. You know, the stuff you put out isn't really the stuff that you want to eat. It's the stuff that you put away. Yeah. And just because it's not visible doesn't mean it's not valuable. In fact, a lot of times the more invisible it is, the more valuable it becomes. We know this because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that the parts of the body that we don't see are actually sometimes more valuable than the parts of the body we do see. In other words, you can live without your pinky, you can't live without your liver, because just because it's invisible to you doesn't mean that it's not valuable to the function. And that's the truth in a church, and that's the truth in a family. It's not just the dude with the microphone that makes it happen. There's somebody doing something right now that you're not seeing that's making the microphone work. Yeah, I'm talking into it, but if somebody doesn't turn it on and if somebody doesn't send it out, how in the world are they going to watch this sermon in Toronto? Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not significant. Come on, let this help you now. Don't waste energy trying to get people to notice you. When God knows where you are, nobody else has to notice at all. You're still valuable. You're important.
And that's all the time we have today, but all of our messages are available for free online, elevationchurch.org. We also have an app. You can get it on your mobile device. Any way you want to engage, we'd love to get more of these messages to you. This teaching, I know, has been helpful for our church as we learn how to make our resolutions more than words. And I pray that something that's been said today has been helpful to you as well. Well, hope to see you back next week on the same station, same time, for the Elevation Experience. May God bless you in big ways this week as you live your life for Him.